we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. Oh, God.
I am so sorry. I'm terribly sorry. Okay. Stop clapping. Hi, everybody. Please send help. Simca Fisher here with my husband, Damien. Podcast number 10.
That was some serious white person soul.
Yes, it really was. It does not get any whiter than that. I mean, if you were clapping on every third beat, but trying really hard.
I feel it.
Stop. You're going to get us arrested in some way. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, we were treated to that song last week. I'm not going to lie. We were treated to that song at Mass, and that's all I am prepared
to say
about it. That's not Obama. That was the Affordable Care Act. Hey, this is a politics-free zone.
You are right.
And anyway, it's Lent. It's Holy Thursday. No, it's not Holy Thursday. First Thursday thing. Which is better than Fat Tuesday, in my opinion. Holy mackerel! At our house, Fat Tuesday means that I'm telling the kids, you have to think of something. You have to think of something to give up, and it has to be something good, not something stupid. And like, all right, here, have your ice cream, and then like,
no, you can't give up cocaine because you don't use cocaine.
That came up.
Yeah,
that came up kind of a lot.
You're not bad people. That's what they
and
are.
And then we have Ash Wednesday, which is horrible because.
Well, here's the thing. I always have to look at the requirements for fasting for Ash Wednesday.
I know, because how many times have you done it? Like 42 times?
In any event, I always, in my mind, it's always much stricter than it actually is. So when I look up...
That's because your normal eating pattern is basically fasting.
Well, but then I look up the fasting rules, and I'm like, oh, this is easy. Mm-hmm. I can do this standing on my head.
Yeah.
And then by about 4 o'clock on Ash Wednesday, I'm dizzy and I'm dying and I'm thinking to myself, I think Jesus would want me to have a cheeseburger right now. I think it's a medical emergency.
I have an exemption. I cannot tell. Okay. Here's the thing. I am big on not telling other people how
you're
to
not eat. A scrupulous person either.
Well, I don't mean it that way, but
I
have my moments, but I try to make a policy of not telling other people that they're like being Catholic wrong, because who's not, right? Basically. So, you know, if they ask me, I'll tell them my opinion, but in general, I try not to go around telling people like, you're not trying hard enough, you're going too easy on yourself, that's not how that goes.
You never
want
to
put your pants on,
yeah.
Kind of thing. But
you should be stricter with yourself.
Yeah, no,
you don't know that.
Generally,
yeah.
So, but the I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say that they have a medical exemption from fasting because when they fast, they feel hungry. Basically, I mean, they're saying, "Well, it's medically unhealthy for me, and I have an exemption because I get a headache, and I tend to feel tired and weak when I fast." I'm like, well, that's the fucking point, isn't it? What's the matter with you? Like, why would you be doing it if it didn't make any impression on you, stupid?
You know, it's judgy people like you is the reason I stopped going to AA.
Yeah. Started going to Mass instead. Oh, anyway, that's what I have to say on the very second day of Lent. So that's how that's going at our house.
Yeah, not well. But
I'll make a difference in the world.
What? All right, can you explain the intro music that we had there a little bit?
I guess so, kind of. So after we say our prayers in the evening with the kids, I try to cram a little catechism into them, and we've been reading Michael Dubreuil's, what's it called? The How-To Book of the Mass.
I've never seen the cover.
It's green. The old one
it's
is
a
green.
Really good
book. Okay, so anyway, the point is it goes through the Mass, like, point by point, start to finish, and it explains everything. It's exactly,
we like it
a lot. It's not, like, the greatest, most articulate writing in the world, but it's packed with really good information. Starts a lot of good conversations. Very often the kids have questions about other things that they want to talk about, and we just read like a page and a half a day. And
it's
great.
It's good stuff.
It's, you know, I learn something, they learn something. So we got up to the presentation of the gifts, and we're discussing how there's usually a...
Well, that's when they fleece all the suckers for the money, right?
Apparently. So I bring in a can of beans. I say, here, do with it what you will.
The Holy Spirit, I give them a check for $1.87. I could be using that on half and half, I'll have you know, at Ralph's.
But it costs more than $1.87. You've been buying the fat-free half and half. That's why it's cheap. It's on sale. It's not supposed to be all in one piece like that. So anyway, So we get up to the presentation of the gifts, and one of the kids is in the shower, because, I don't know, she snuck into the shower, and I was like, well, we'll show her, we'll do catechism without her!
Oh no!
Because that'll teach her!
How will she recover?
So I was like, alright, we're just gonna do a short thing. So we're reading about the presentation of the gifts, and there's a hymn, we sing a processional, a hymn as they proceed up the center aisle of the gifts, and it's supposed to, and one of the things that we've started doing since we started reading this book is we've been singing all the songs at Mass, all the hymns, and some that I hesitate to call hymns and will really just call songs. And
such
that
as?
May be pushing it, for instance. So, okay, so because the idea is that, you know, you're there to be with other people. It's not a private ceremony. It's not a private service for you. You can have private prayer anytime you want to,
but that's
it's
bullshit.
it's a communal prayer, which isn't
Am
to
I
say
a communist
yes
then?
In at Mass yes you are, because communism done perfectly is pretty
thanks
much
a lot Pope Francis
what Jesus wanted. Yeah, I know. So
now do I have to hold hands and that kind of shit?
You have to hold my hand.
Well, okay,
if you're not in the back with the baby. That's the rule.
I can't be in back with the baby anymore.
So I'm singing to the kids. I know. She's so terrible.
She is the worst person at Mass.
But she's not the worst kid we've ever had at Mass.
No, she's not. But
that
she
would have been Mo.
Not Elijah?
Mo we used to stay home for, remember? We would have to take turns going to Mass because of
Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to start doing that with Corey.
That's true. She's kind of into potatoes lately. She wanted me to eat potatoes today, and they were not cooked. Eat it, she says. Eat it.
How many did you eat?
One. I only ate one. She was very insistent.
You don't mess with her.
So, I'm reminding the kids that it is supposed to be a communal experience. And who the heck do you think you are telling, you know, saying, I'm not going to sing this song. Like, this is Christ crucified, giving up body, blood, soul, and divinity for the salvation of our souls. But I'm not going to sing this song because I'm too good for that. Like, all right, yeah, you think so? So we've started singing all the songs. And I've had the experience.
Some of you have.
That I don't tell you what to do. Or I do, but I don't expect to get anything out of it anymore. So I've been singing the songs, and I've discovered that they're actually easier to deal with when you're singing than when you're standing there with your arms folded looking like a jerk. So so I'm telling this to the kids, and I was reminding them that this is how it goes. And they say, but what about Go Make a Difference? And I said, all right, Go Make a Difference. You don't have to sing. Even I am not going to make you sing Go Make a Difference. It's so stupid. It's not even the worst. I mean, we sing songs with heresies. We sing songs with 11 different time signatures in them. There's nothing really that wrong with Go Make a Difference, but they bring out the tambourines and they start clapping.
It's the clapping that really gets me.
I know. I remember the first time we had just moved here.
Remember? When the bassist really gets into it, you're like, oh, shit.
it ain't right. We live in New England, and you need to stop that. That's all there is to it. So the rest of our, you know, famous catechism class devolved into a sarcastic clapping rendition of Go Make a Difference, and now it's stuck in my head, and I can't, with clapping. Oh, boy. So, I hope that I've made a difference in your life today, Damien.
As you always do, yes.
Sure I do. All right, speaking of making a difference, today, when we get off this podcast, we're going to rent a yurt, right?
Yes.
Yay!
We're going to rent two yurts.
Oh, we are? Like a
we're gonna, yeah.
Kid yurt and an adult yurt?
Yes.
Adult yurt.
Well, it's going to be the adult and little kids yard and the big kids yard. Because you know how it goes.
No, I know how
it goes. We can only fit, legally, they only let you fit so many people per yard at the at the state campgrounds.
Well, so around here, you guys, check into it. If you have an idea that you would like to go camping, but you don't want to actually go camping, a yurt is the perfect thing for you because it has all the appeal of a tent because you hear the rustling. You know what a yurt is. It's basically like a...
It's a cabin tent.
Well, yeah, it's like a permanent tent is what it is. And the ones that they have around here, you can actually, they have this giant pole and you can like attach it onto the sunroof and crank it and open up the whole top of it so to let some air in. And you can roll up these flaps on the side and it's all screened in. It's like being in a like a pavilion kind of. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It is great. It's wonderful, but it has a floor.
And it has
a door.
It has electric outlets and they usually put a little space heater in there so you can warm it up.
Oh yeah, it has a space heater. That's nice.
And it's in the campground and you can have a fire outside and you can have your coffee and your wieners and crap like that. And then you go in and you go to bed.
You can do all the fun things.
There's beds in there. There's bunk beds.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, I want to be in a yurt right now.
Yeah. And we're going to have the campground that we're going to has like a pond so we can bring the canoe that we have.
Mm-hmm. The world's ugliest canoe.
The world's ugliest.
That is, in fact, how it was advertised, and we decided that that was the one that we wanted to buy. So
that's $100. Have we gotten into that on a podcast?
The canoe? World's ugliest canoe?
Maybe we could say
I don't know what else there is to say.
Canoe season.
Yeah.
But it's a good canoe, and we'll bring it, and we can water around, and there's two parks there. You can walk to another state park from the park that we're going to be camping at.
Okay, why are we telling them this, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
Look, because I'm still waiting for my check. I've done 9 of these podcasts, and I've not been paid a fucking dime.
Stop. I already said that one time. You know, we're going to reach our legal limit, and people are going to get tired of this.
Of what? Dimes?
No, saying fuck all the time.
But these are the people who are paying for this shit.
Well.
They like it.
All right. Let's move
you
on.
Like it. Come
let's
on.
Just,
you
just
like
stop.
It.
Stop. We don't need to talk about what I like right now. We happened to stop at the store today because I decided that it was time for me to move into the 20th century and buy a smartphone so that I can like talk to people and stuff.
And text.
Yeah, sure.
And text rude things.
Sure. So I
text rude pictures.
Stop. What is the matter? It's a podcast. You don't have rude pictures in a podcast. What is the matter?
I'm just telling them what you're going
to
be doing with
it. Oh my gosh. We need to do this over. This is not working. This is just not working out. Anyway, I was watching. You used your card. I mean, it's all our money, let's face it.
Yeah.
But you used your card, so I was pretending that you were buying me something.
And it was.
Well,
I was.
Work.
You work very hard.
All right.
But I did buy you something
by
the act of swiping the card.
I appreciate it. And what I noticed was that you swipe the card. We're at the Walmart self-checkout kiosk or what have you. And you swipe the card and it says, you know, processing or whatever. And you had that look on your face. Mm. And then it said approved. And then you had that other look on your face. I thought, ooh, we have been
approved.
Poor long enough.
Because every once in a while, you'll swipe the card
and
they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Oh.
That hasn't happened in a really long time.
You know, it happened, you know, I was buying beer at Yogi's convenience store down the road.
Yep.
And it happened to me, and it was because they changed cards or something. So.
Yeah, that happened. Well, anyway, I feel like this is a particular joy that, for instance, Gwyneth Paltrow will never appreciate. We'll never get to experience herself, and I feel sorry for her.
I always worry when I get gas. You put the card in, and it should approve in a certain amount of time. And if it takes a little bit longer, I start getting really worried and start panicking, and I have to start doing my breathing that my therapist recommends. And then it says approved, and I'm like, yeah, damn right, it's approved, you motherfucker.
I always feel like Mr. Bean, you know, the one where he goes to this like giant British department store, and he takes out his credit card and he kind of waves it around so everybody can see, and then he goes, my flexible friend. We gotta watch more Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but I try not to say it out loud because That's the kind of thing that you can
have. You have. I've been there with you. You have.
No, that's not true.
You do it at Penny's. I know.
All right. So I was usually, we talk about what movies that we saw over the week, but I was trying to think, have we seen any movies? And I thought, why haven't we seen any movies? And then I remember yesterday when you came home, I was sitting on the couch and I was asleep and the baby was sitting next to me on the couch and she was asleep and the 5-year-old had put a little plastic heart in my hands and covered us both with a blanket.
The puppy blanket. It was the blanket of love.
Yes. She's very...
She is a good mother.
She's a very good mother. She's the kid that I came into the kitchen one time and there was a bagel on the counter with a pacifier stuck in it. Because it looked hungry. Just standing there with an open mouth. Somebody's got to take care of it.
So well, you Benny, weren't. She had to.
That's good. That's why I had Benny, because I can't, you know. I just can't. So what were we talking about? Oh, I was asleep on the couch. So I didn't watch any movies, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there haven't been any good movies to watch.
Yeah.
I've tried to watch movies, but...
What did you try to watch?
Well, I tried to watch Beat the Devil again.
What's that?
That is a John Huston movie. I think it's... I think it might be Bogart's last movie. So it's Humphrey Bogart and John Huston directing, and Peter Lorre... Sounds
promising.
It sounds great. Screenplay by Truman Capote and John Huston. It should be great.
Heard of them.
I don't know what happened. It is terrible.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is there's no good copy of the movie that exists. So it looks bad, it sounds bad, shaky. The sound is terrible.
Yep.
And it doesn't make any sense. And it's not very echoey. And it's just not good. It's not good. You should turn away. You're going to think to yourself, "Wow, Humphrey Bogart," not this time.
He didn't make a difference in the world.
He did not, no.
Yeah.
Neither did Truman Capote, nor Peter Lorre, Peter Lorre's playing a character named O'Hara.
Okay. That's like when Sean Connery was the Japanese guy, right?
No, he was James Bond pretending to be a Japanese guy. That's totally different. And You Only Live Twice, the greatest James Bond movie ever produced.
I felt like, with that many Chinese ladies fixing him up, he could have ended up looking...
Japanese. They were Japanese. You're so racist.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I apologize to all the...
We apologize to all Asia ladies. Right here. The other movie I tried to watch, and again had to turn off, was Alexander.
That's Fanny and Alexander?
No.
Have you seen Fanny and Alexander?
I refuse.
We saw that when I was little, and I want everybody to know that is typical of the kind of movies that we saw when I was little.
I know.
And that's why I am the way I am.
I would love to read your memoir someday, but in any event...
I bet you would, my flexible friend.
The movie I'm talking about is Alexander. It's Oliver Stone, who is a much worse director than people give him credit for. Okay. He's terrible. He is basically, I believe, at the age of 20, he had his hands cut off and they were replaced with hands. That's how he approaches everything. So it's his biopic of the life of Alexander the Great.
Can you just hold on for a second?
Yeah.
Is that pronounced biopic or biopic?
It's biopic.
Does anybody say biopic, though?
My friend Ben Solving used to say biopic.
Oh, that's
but he's kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he...
Ben, if you're listening to this, I love you, but you're kind of a fucking idiot.
He knows that.
Yeah.
He used to have to clean his glasses for him.
Yeah, I know. Well, he finally... Any event. So, it's Alexander the Great starring... who's that guy? Colin Farrell.
Oh.
And... You're not going to do anything about his Irish accent, so they just cast a bunch of Irishmen around him. And so it's the gayest Irish thing I've ever seen. And I couldn't get through it. It was pretty bad. And then it was just so bad. I had to turn it off. Wow. And I'll watch a lot of stuff before
that,
I turn it off.
I can attest to that. You will watch.
Just about anything. There are two movies that I do want to watch.
Yep.
I would like to watch The Witch, which is a horror movie I've been putting off watching because it's supposed to be really scary, but the surprise is, I hope it's not a spoiler alert, the big scary reveal is evil exists, the devil exists in this movie. So I'm kind of interested to watch it. Yeah, it's set in Pilgrim, New England, and I watched the first couple of minutes, and a family is cast out of the colony for...
Much like what happened to us.
For heresy. But you,
for
you
trying to make a difference, you mean?
All right.
Okay.
All right. So the
other movie that you wanted to watch?
The other movie I still want to watch is Blue Ruin. It's directed by the same people who made The Green Room. Or not The. It's just Green Room.
Did I see Green Room?
You did not. I watched that with Lena. Green Room is about a punk band that gets trapped in a skinhead compound. Blue Ruin, which I've seen, which I think you should watch, it's a revenge movie. And it's heartbreaking and at the same time really very funny. It's almost like a parody of action revenge movies because it stars such an inept hero.
Okay. But so back to the biopic there. Biopic.
But of who? Are you?
Nobody.
Why don't you go make a difference?
Nobody at all. Do you want to tell us? Oh boy, this is a downer. We are bringing people down today. Do you want to tell us about the worst thing?
I do. I came across a worst thing crime story, and I was really excited to share it because it is just so horrible.
Yep.
But then
as I reminded him last time, I shared my worst thing, which was a new product. Which a guy invented where you have this little lipstick-like object where you basically glue your labia together so that you don't have to worry about your period anymore.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because if there are kids listening, if that wasn't a clue, don't listen.
Go make a difference.
Here's the headline to the most disappointing story I've read in a while, and I'll explain why it's disappointing. Wyoming man found with 30 eyeballs in his anal cavity.
Oh, come on.
And I'll give you the gist of it. This guy's pulled over for speeding, possible drunk driving. He gets out, and according to the story, a bunch of eyeballs fall out of his pants. And it turns out...
Okay. All right, never mind. Go ahead. Tell your story.
And according to the story, he's got about 30 of them packed up his, his make a difference hole. And it turns out the story says he works at a meat packing plant, a butcher's plant, and he was upset that the company was throwing away all of the scrap meat, and so he was smuggling them out in the only hidey hole that he had.
That sounds fake.
Well, I want to get into it. This is why it's so disappointing, because they have these quotes from the supposed police report. He explains, "I enjoy eating bovine eyeballs, and smuggling them out in my colon was the only way I knew how to get them out without potentially getting caught and fired." And he says, "I put them in soups. They're beneficial for erectile dysfunction, which I currently battle, but also I just like the texture and the taste." And as a reporter, you would kill for a story like that. I haven't had stories that...
That was a good line.
Those are good. But it is a fake story, and I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed in the internet
for
giving me a fake story like that.
Wouldn't you be happy that it's not true, though?
As a human, yes. As a reporter, no.
Okay.
That's
all
it.
All right. Yeah. Well, I've lived with that for almost 20 years, so I guess I can live with it tonight. More than 20 years, considering we dated for at least like 6 to 8 weeks before we got married. That's the way I remember it.
It was a solid 3 months.
Was it?
I don't know.
It was solid. You're gonna blow their ears off. That's what you're gonna do. All of a sudden, my speaker's gonna start working. Well, everybody, it's Dr. Seuss's birthday today, and you know, Dr. Seuss. I totally grew up with Dr. Seuss, reading his easy reader books. Those are the ones that I really really enjoy, because as you may know, I did homeschool for many years, taught several of the children how to read, and boy. If you've ever taught your kids to read using a second-rate easy reader, you can tell the difference and you can appreciate the brilliance of Dr. Seuss for making an actual story out of a very, very few number of words five short vowels. Yes.
Are You My Mother is the worst children's book ever written.
Yeah, and it's not by Dr. Seuss.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Okay.
It's like Dr. Seuss life.
It's not. Yeah, that's the thing. That's actually not bad. You haven't read the other stuff that's out there.
Well, I do refuse to read a lot of it.
Well, I mean, they're easy readers, so I would hope so. But I'm just saying, I appreciate Dr. Seuss. I don't appreciate the preachy ones. He got awfully, awfully preachy. Plus, he was a son of a bitch. His wife had cancer. He was having a long-term affair with some other lady, and as soon as she died, he went and married the other lady. And
he waited until she died.
Well, and I expect you to do the same.
I expect if I'm having a long-term affair, you would find out and kill me.
I'd like to see you have a long-term affair. Mean something. So I thought, in honor of the son of a bitch, my favorite poem by Dr. Seuss, which is from did you know that in the end of Hop on Pop, when he says my brother,
is that the one where the guy has sex with a cow?
No, stop. What is the matter with
you? Oh, wait, that's Faulkner.
Okay. I wasn't a cow. What version did you read?
No, it was a cow in the Hamlet or the town. No, the Hamlet.
Oh yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Okay. No, you're right. That's what's
and that's what and, a college education
and I was
going
to say he went to college and that's what he learned. So never go into the South because
well,
you never know what's going to be expected of you.
And as we have learned,
all right, I'm gonna read a poem by Dr. Seuss, because even though he was a son of a bitch, he had a way with words, and we often thought that this was something that actually, with a few tweaks, maybe could have been written by William Blake if you had the right kind of illustration instead of the illustration. All right, so here we go. My hat is old, my teeth are gold, I have a bird I like to hold, my shoe is off, my foot is cold. My shoe is off, my foot is cold. I have a bird I like to hold. My hat is old, my teeth are gold. And now my story is all told. So, and I'm going to do this again. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize in advance. Oh my gosh.